our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows? Psalter 60, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, you can find in Romans 6. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but ye are under the law. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee by renewal on this Sabbath day, insofar that it was possible to gather us and our dear children within the walls of thy house of prayer, under thy word and eternal testimony. And it is recorded in the scriptures that thou hast declared that the sanctuary of old among the children of Israel was the place where thou would meet with them. May that also be experienced in this evening hour. And to that end, wilt thou richly bless thy word we have heard in this morning hour of thy dear Son, who would come, who has come as that prophet to enlighten sinners' eyes. Lord, may then thy word be used in this hour for the conversion of sinners. Wilt thou grant that there may be sinners sitting on the way, as that Bartimaeus, that was already thy work, where he was given to cry after thee, the Son of David, for mercy, and with the request that his eyes may be opened, that he may see, Lord, when thou worketh, and then thou hast a people that learn how ignorant and blind they are concerning heavenly ways, and how to be saved, then it is possible that in this evening hour a few souls have come up that do not know it anymore. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then, as the great prophet, grant instruction? 'Tis written in thy word of a people that not only walk in darkness, but that even sit in darkness. But then thou wast promised that thou shalt be a light unto them. And thy dear Son in the scriptures is called the light of the world. And thou wast promised to thy church, unto you that fear my name, as shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Thou knowest most perfectly what our request has been when we have come up to thy courts. Thou knowest how it was with our boys and our girls. May they have begged thee for a new heart. Thou knowest how it was with our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. Our heart is an open book before thee. Wilt thou so bless the means of grace in the church, but also in the family circles? Another season of instruction has come to an end, but the instruction in the family circles that must continue, we commend by renewal unto thee, the father and mother, who were privileged to present their little son to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth. Oh, continue, and thou shalt continue to remember, but thou wilt also be inquired of Israel concerning the persecuted church, where it is commanded in thy word to remember those in bonds as being bound with them, where in this day in many countries thy church could not gather, many in prison, and then great multitudes upon the earth, also in our country, in our community, that had no desire and would not come together round about thy holy word. Ah, Lord, how good thou art, that thou yet maketh the difference, and that thou granteth unto us and our dear children yet a place in thy courts. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake, also in the midst of warfare. May it be used that the veil may be taken away. We commend unto thee all mission work, our mission field, the different places where thy church may gather, thy servant and the team. And then in the past week, then thou wast brought a father and mother with their two little children safely to Bolivia. And then in this week, to resume language studies, ah, Lord, the fruits of Babel, that stands as a great mountain between them and between the people of that land with a different language. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant thy gracious help, and that with thy blessing, and it is written in thy word through Zerubbabel, that the mountain may become a plain. Help Bible translators. Bless thy word that may be sent into the prisons and to the ends of the earth. Remember our poor country that may commemorate its birthday the past week and that continues its downward spiral to destruction. And then, Lord, surely then thy patient long suffering is great over our country, and that long suffering is greatly abused, thinking that notwithstanding our God provoking sins, that thou shalt continue to bless us. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children eyes to see, hearts to perceive, and a hastening for our life's sake. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, O Lord. Do continue to remember them, the sick and afflicted ones, the little daughter in the hospital. May the means be blessed, and in due time, the parents be privileged to return with her to their dwelling. May all the callings be sanctified, the mother and wife with difficulties and weakness of her mind. Wilt thou grant further healing, may the means be blessed, in due time be dismissed. And Lord, do remember all amongst us that struggle with weakness, depression of the mind. Grant them a place at thy footstool. We commend unto thee all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, those undergoing treatments. May the means be blessed, the calling sanctified. We commend unto thee crosses and burdens and scars. Remember the handicapped ones. Bless our family circles. May love abound. Remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. May they receive a place at thy footstool, using the means to be delivered. And then what a necessary petition in the solemn times in which we live, where we are surrounded by so many temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters, whom we see no more, whom have left us. Thou also knowest where they are in this evening hour. And now, Lord, by renewal, then we humbly ask for thy gracious help in this hour. May thy word go forth with power divine, go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling, with profound impressions, and may it be more and more experienced what that centurion has expressed, which he was given to believe, experienced, that he was not worthy, that thou wouldest come under his roof. And yet it was a centurion that needed thee in all his ways, and thou hast remembered and blessed. And then we read in thy word of the disciples, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Wilt thou so dwell richly amongst us and pardon us of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. God's law, a perfect whole, is saving to the soul, and every secret tries his testimony sure, which ever shall endure, will make the simple wise, and what follows. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24, the question and answer 62, 63, and 64. Question 62, but why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63, what do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Question 64, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Answer, by no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Lord's Day 24 is a separating Lord's Day concerning justification and good works. And it separates in the first place between the proud Pharisee and the uncovered sinner. Secondly, it separates between the working servant and the dutiful child. And in the third place, it separates between a careless sinner and a thankful church. A separating Lord's Day concerning justification and good works, and it separates between the proud Pharisee and the uncovered sinner, between the working servant and dutiful child, and between a careless sinner and a thankful church. Beloved congregation, we have heard from Lord's Day 23 of the justification of a sinner before a holy, a righteous God, to be acquitted of their guilt and to receive a right to eternal life, and then the instructors by renewal, then they have emphasized and they have stressed, and then they were given to glory in free and sovereign grace, that nothing can be added, nothing need be added, and nothing shall be added from man's side. And young and old, that is now the hope for us and our children, because if we had to add anything, even one prayer, then it would be eternally lost. And now that doctrine of free and sovereign grace than the natural heart? Is it enmity against it? But now the Lord has a people whom by His Spirit that they are won over, and they are taught these holy lessons, and they are brought into depth, and the church learns that it is grace and grace alone. And now in Lord's Day 23, then we already had a question, and that question could be joined to Lord's Day 24, thus after the explanation of the justification of the sinner by faith, then there are four questions asked, and especially the first, we have in short considered it the last Sabbath day, and then it is such a subtle question. No, concerning the meriting of salvation, that is the work solely of Christ. But now the work of application, is that now also the work of the Lord, or is that partly the work of man? And to that end, then we have considered the Arminian, who was given to declare, and there are many shades, and it can be worded in many subtle ways. When we read the writings of the Arminians, then sometime we would say, now that is Reformed. And now the question was whether a sinner's faith now has a certain meriting value, to apply that salvation unto themselves. And then we have heard the answer, that faith, that is also a gift of God, that is a grace which the Spirit grants unto the newborn sinner in the moment of regeneration, and by His Spirit each time by renewal grants the exercise thereof. And now on this Lord's Day, then we have the proud Pharisee that is speaking, and the child of God, they learn what a proud Pharisee is, and that each time by renewal, because that proud Pharisee that tries to come on the foreground, and then each time it is necessary that the proud Pharisee, that he becomes by renewal the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Thus then we have the proud Pharisee, we have the rich young ruler that still had some merit. But why cannot our good works? And then concerning good works, then in the Heidelberg Catechism, there is spoken of good works by renewal in Lord's Day 32 and 33. But then we must make a separation. In this Lord's Day, it speaks of good works in relation to justification, and then in the part of gratitude, and then it speaks of good works in relation to sanctification. And now the question is, but why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Have we learned it, congregation? We know it with our mind, that it is all of grace. But have we now learned it in an experiential way? And how do we learn it in an experiential way? To try it. Maybe there are people that think, but so foolish I shall not be, because we have learned it, that by our works we cannot be saved. Then your answer declares much, tells that you have never come on the school of Jesus. Because when the Spirit works and He sheds that love abroad in a sinner's heart, and He has to do with a just and a holy God, then He shall try to satisfy that God whom they love, whom they cannot miss, and He is such a holy God that He must punish all our sins. And now the question, but why cannot our good works? Thus the question is, do they now have no value? All my striving, my religious duties, my denying the lust of the flesh, all my sacrifices, do they now have no balance laid in the balance of the Lord's justice? Do they not help a little at least concerning that satisfaction? But why cannot our good works be the whole? That the child of God is given to learn. But now there is also added our part of our righteousness before God and people. When the Spirit works, then we have much to do with the righteousness of God and that holy tribunal, and that from His holiness flows forth His justice, that He cannot overlook one sin, and then we become a seeking soul, and then we learn that our sin causes separation, and then we are given to inquire how such a sinner as I may be reconciled with a just and good-doing God. And now those exercises, they work as they read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. And now it is necessary, O Thomas Brooks has stated in a certain place, no sinner shall be saved without repentance, but they shall also learn never because of their repentance. Because, do you know, the Pharisee can continue with some emotions and some convictions with the hope that it shall be well, but the true child, they need that assurance that it is well. They cannot do a maybe, because concerning this matter, it is an eternal mistake. And to that end, when the instructors have uncovered deeper concerning the experience, but why cannot our good works in the whole or part of our righteousness before God, young and old, have we learned it? And how do we live with it? And also we live in a day that there can be so much resting upon experiences, and experience shall not be missed, because when we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, with those new desires and new longings, when everything becomes reality, traveling to a never-ending and an all-decisive eternity, that is, if people, as they read Christ in the Beatitudes, that are the poor in spirit, And now then the proud Pharisee, then he comes down, and they are those that mourn, they are the meek, and they are given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of the righteousness before God? It is a question that comes forth out of pride. In paradise, then it was possible to be saved by works, and then Adam has not obeyed, and now it is no longer possible, and now it is human nature to be tried to be saved by works. And then this first question that is against the heathens, that is against the Jews, and also against the Roman Catholics. But now the answer, because that the righteousness, and let us also state, not ask the righteousness before man. We have a responsibility before man that we do not lead him astray. And the Pharisees, they were very concerned about what their neighbor would think. But they were not so concerned before that righteousness before God. And now the Lord has a people, a great privilege, when they may be kept from living in outward sin, bring a reproach upon the church, may be an example for children, for young and old. But the Lord has a people with that heart. If the people could look inside, how shocked they would be. Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And now, because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God, that is what the church becomes exercised with that tribunal of God, that throne of justice, a God that requires perfect obedience in all aspects, must be absolutely perfect. How it can be in the beginning that they have a little hope, a little encouragement, when it is so lively, the love shed abroad in the heart, when the solemns become so real, all with that desire to walk in the ways of the Lord, hope to go from strength to strength, become holier and holier. And then it is the normal way that the Lord holds with his church, that they are first uncovered to their actual sins. But in the further uncovering, also to their original sins, that they not only do sin, but that they are nothing but a sinner, must be absolutely perfect, and in all respects conformable to the divine law. The motives, the performing, the end must be conformable to his holy law, thoughts, words, and deeds. And then it even speaks of our best works. Do we not read in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that the church was given to exclaim that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Let's not say unrighteousnesses. that the church soon learns, then what bitter tears they weep when they grieve such a just and a good-doing God. But even our righteousnesses, our religious duties, our Bible reading, our prayers, our church going. Do you have trouble with the congregation? With your religious duties? Are there times that on the Sabbath evening that you are so distressed and so sorrowful, Lord, thou hast been so good, family circle given health and strength, may come up to thy courts, place herself under thy word and eternal testimony, and need to confess many a sin. Ah, Lord, have increased my guilt for another day. Oh, I have heard it. There is a mediator. There is a Savior. And that is a Savior that I need. Because, Lord, I have tried so hard and so long to live perfectly and to satisfy thy justice, but my guilt is only increasing. And in all respects conformable to the divine law, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Has that now become our burden? Has that now truly become our guilt? Have we now become a lost and unworthy and a hell-worthy sinner to be unable to learn that it is grace and a need for that precious Savior? And then we could add, even if it was possible, that an uncovered sinner, that becomes their desire, be now honest. Has that now become your desire to live perfectly before the Lord, to be reconciled, to experience that sweet communion? And if it was now possible, and are there souls in my midst? Because that becomes their desire, to live holily before the Lord. But if it was now possible that a soul could come to the state of perfect perfection, it's not possible. That's reserved for God's people in heaven. Ah, there it shall be perfection and praise and holiness, rejoicing before the throne. But if it was now possible, would that give a solution? Have you learned the congregation? If it was now possible, would that give a solution? And then I even think that the boys and girls shall answer no. Because then they all have all the former sins of my whole life, my sins in my unconverted state, and my sins after I believe that the Lord has begun, they are all on my account and also original sin. Our second thought, between the working servant and dutiful child, what? Do not our good works merit, which yet God shall reward in this and in a future life? Thus then this question that refers to Scripture. That is always good. Then we are on common ground. The five watchwords of the Reformer, sola scriptura, you remember, boys and girls? Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, and to God all the glory. And now we are referred to the Scriptures. What do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and then we read of nine times that there is spoken of a reward. Matthew 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. The Lord has said to Abram in Genesis 15, verse 1, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Do we not read in the second and the fifth commandment of a promise in the way of reward? In Psalm 19, verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 26 of a Moses, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Thus then Moses was given to consider the reward that the Lord grants unto his people. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul has spoken of different degrees in glory. And in Hebrews 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And then do we not read of many a child of God upon their walk, upon their choice, and that they have received a special reward? Think of Abram when he was given to leave his own land and his own people. And Joseph, when he has resisted temptation, has the Lord not greatly rewarded? The three friends in Daniel 3, when they have refused to bow before the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, were they not greatly rewarded, the Son of God, in the midst of the burning fire? Daniel in Daniel 6, when he has prayed three times with open windows toward Jerusalem, was he not rewarded that the Lord has sent the angels to close the mouth of lions? Then the question could be asked, may we seek the Lord for reward? What do you think, young people? May we now seek the Lord for reward? Of course, must be to God's honor. But we have mentioned Moses, he had respect unto the reward. And thus congregations seek the Lord, even if it is only for reward, to receive a place in heaven. And when the Spirit works, then he shall uncover further. And that it must also be for his honor and for his glory. Thus the scripture that speaks of reward, what? Do not our good works reward, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? Answer, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. Matthew 20, Christ is given a parable of a farmer. In Bible times, then many did not have a steady job, but they were hired day by day. And then that farmer has hired his first workers at 6 o'clock in the morning. And in Bible times, then the wage for one day was 1 penny, was agreed upon. 9 o'clock, hired some more, 12 o'clock, and even at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then 6 o'clock, then it was time to pay. Then, boys and girls, you can picture it. Then, of course, the one that started 6 o'clock, he has earned a penny. But when he is seen that the one started 5 o'clock, he also received a penny. So then I think, children, you can understand it, that the one that worked started 6 o'clock, worked the whole day very hard, that he received wages. But the one that started 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that he received much as a reward. To make it simple for our boys and girls, let us picture a family circle. And we have many families. That is a blessing. And in the family circle, a mother sometimes can be overwhelmed. And then mothers, you do not have to be ashamed if now and then you hire a young girl to help with the household duties. So then, boys and girls, you can picture it in the family circle, a young girl that has worked diligently. Of course, it does not mean that we must never volunteer and help the families out. Still a great blessing that takes place, but of course, we cannot expect a person to volunteer continually. They also need to earn their daily bread. And then in that family circle, then such a girl, then at the end of the week, she would be paid for her labors. But now in that family circle, what would you think? A young girl, let's say 8 years old, that on Saturday night, that she would come to father and mother with her piggy bank from her bedroom, expecting father and mother to pay her. And then the children would say, that would not be right. Because for boys and girls, then it is our duty, and children, I hope you do your best to help and to please father and mother in the summer holidays. Then it is your duty to help whenever possible, whenever asked. And then, of course, a child does not work for wages. They have many reasons to help, to be thankful for everything that father and mother does. So then we have the difference. The servant, he works for wages. And the child, it is his duty and his calling. And concerning that merit so ingrained in our nature, to give a practical example, two farmers, neighbors, and then the one farmer does not go to church. And on Sunday, he bales his hay. Of course, boys and girls, you know that is very wrong. And the other farmer, he goes to church. And Monday morning, it starts raining on his nice hay. And then it shall be experienced what lives in our heart. Is the Lord now right and just to let that other farmer bale hay on Sunday? And I went to church. I even did my best not to think about my hay. And now it is wet. Then we learn that merit that we think that we still have rights, that we still deserve. Let us first sing Psalter 1, the first four stanzas. That man is blessed that fearing God from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. And what follows? Psalter 1, the first four stanzas. a separating Lord's Day concerning justification and good works between the proud Pharisee and uncovered sinner, between the working servant and dutiful child. Do we not read of an Asaph in Psalm 73 that he was exercised with this matter? And now thirdly, between a careless sinner and a thankful church. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Careless means to be thoughtless, irresponsible, and profane, ungodly, worldly, irreverent, and wicked. Then the instructors have given a biblical answer. But then first we do well to examine each of our lives. What answer do we give to this question by our life? What is our life? Does the doctrine of free and sovereign grace, excluding everything of mankind, does that now make us careless and profane? And what answer does your life give? Fathers and mothers, what impression concerning this Lord's Day do you give to your children? Must they say that the doctrine that is brought in the church that makes father and mother quite careless and very worldly? Young people, older ones, what does our life say? What answer does it give to this question? And it can come in many different forms. The thought for many can be free and sovereign grace, an elected church. Thus then it does not really make so much difference how diligently that I use the means of grace, then I do not have to live so strict because I can never save myself by my works, that we do not put the right value upon the means of grace, where we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that we can even be as Elymas, of whom we have heard in the past week, that for others, when they have a life more conformable to God's word, and when we still have a speaking conscience, we call them a legalist or self-righteous. Thus concerning the third point, then it can come in many shades and in many forms. And the question is for each and every one, the precious doctrine of free and sovereign grace, does it indeed make us careless and profane? With perhaps the thought that if I am unconverted anyway, does not make so much difference how I live because I am lost, and then I must go to hell. And thus it can come in many forms. And thus this doctrine, and then by renewal congregation, what answer does your life give? Is it according to the answer of the instructors? And that it does not make us careless and profane. When we consider the countries, when you study it out, the difference between countries which have been settled, the difference between North America and South America. In the 1500s, it was in the special providence of the Lord that North America has become especially settled by immigrants after the Reformation has gained a foothold in Europe. But South America was settled earlier by the Roman Catholics. And then we see the answer to this question, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Then in South America has never been the godliness that there has been in North America, when we think of the time when the pilgrims have come, the time of the first awakening, the second awakening in the middle 1800s, when we consider how the Lord's Day was kept, when we compare the two countries, and then the answer is given that this doctrine, when in North America, the doctrine of free and sovereign grace was glorified and proclaimed the work of a triune God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit, and then what a godliness there was, how God's word was respected in the government offices, in the schools, in the universities, and in the family circles. And then the instructors, and of course there is nothing new. Already in Romans 6, we have read it together. The question was addressed. By no means, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith. In John 15, and then we also have those branches that lie beside, but they were never implanted. It separates the precious from the vile. Then the true work of the Lord, that becomes evident by its fruits. And the more that a poor sinner may experience what grace is, what it has cost their precious Savior to redeem them from all their sins, what a dowry that he has paid, then it cannot be different. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? When a sinner by the Spirit may learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, then it can by no means afford us impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. And now concerning our 3 points, than the living and the true child of God, then they have trouble and many exercise. It brings them at the footstool of the king. Trouble with that proud Pharisee that he still wants to bring something forth. Dr. John Owen, that was a man that was led far in the mysteries of grace. Then in a certain place, then he has stated how often the true child of God is still attempting to put some of his sanctification toward his justification. Ah, concerning that working servant, when the Lord comes in ways of adversity, as with an Asaph, then they learn that there is still much of that working servant. Each time by renewal they need to be brought into the sanctuary. And also concerning that thankfulness, oh, each time by renewal it is needful to be brought into the guilt. And then each time by renewal, how necessary, suitable, and precious Christ is in his threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And those two verses, they are quoted oftentimes, and rightfully so, for therein man is abased to the lowest, and God glorified to the highest. But there is a text that follows, and they belong together. And then we read in the 10th verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. A few words to speak, and where the greatest part of the congregation could come up to thy house, well, to grant humble hearts for those that have recovered, well, to grant healing and recovery to those that are sick, and may also this sickness be used as a means in thy hand for the coming of thy kingdom, to be given to experience our 3 points: an uncovered sinner saved by grace, a dutiful child whose praises of the Lord may be on his lips. Lord, we may commence another week. Do watch over us, the mothers in the home with the children, at work on the way. Remember the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening. Well, to grant what is necessary, we commend unto thee the young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony in a faraway province. Well, to grant traveling mercies to that end, and may that young couple be given fervently to beg of thee, that thou may be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom, and that they may be a hand and a foot for one another pertaining to this life, but also concerning eternity, that they may by thy grace be given to experience the matters which we have tried to speak of in this evening hour. Wilt thou remember the congregation and bless them on the coming Sabbath day? Wilt thou grant unto the brother elders a sermon which they may or must read? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? We commend unto thee those that have an active part in the church service to lead the congregational singing, the doorkeepers, the sound system. Lord, grant a prayer for one another and return safely in their midst. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies to our dwellings? Oh, it needs to be impressed upon our mind and our hearts that we do not only need thy care and keeping for long journeys, but also our short journeys, and do impress upon our hearts that we are all young and old, traveling to a never-ending and all-decisive eternity. Lord, do work mightily and lovingly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Do so watch over us in this week. Keep us from sin and temptation, from an unexpected, and above all, from an unreconciled death. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. And what follows? 325, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.